Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Cruise Control with Jonathan and Christian Cruz, only on MSL Radio.
Welcome, guys, back to another episode of Cruise Control with your hosts, Jay Cruz and Chris Cruz. Chris Cruz, say what's up to the people.
Hey, what's up, people? How you guys doing? Welcome to another great episode of Cruise Control. You saw how I did it all dramatically there, Jay? Do you like that?
I saw. Yeah, it was pretty cool, man. I really appreciated that. You know, got the people pumped up for this episode.
That's right. I was practicing like 10 minutes before the show just to get that line right.
I know. I felt the intensity in that one line.
Thank you. Thank you. My work has gotten noticed.
So, guys, we got another great show for you guys today. Got a couple good topics. What we're going to be talking about today are the VMA highlights. We're going to be talking about Wes Craven. Unfortunately, he died. And we're going to be talking about the Little League World Series and who won it. So, we ready to start the topics off today? I guess we'll start off with the Little League World Series. Get some sports in.
Ooh, okay. I'm with that. So, like Jay was saying, the Little League World Series has finally ended. And in the finals was Japan and Pennsylvania. And I bet you guys will never guess who actually won it. Jay, what do you think?
I think it was Florida.
You're obviously correct. Florida was in the finals, like I just said, and they won it. But seriously, obviously the heavy favorite, Japan, ended up with the title again for the fifth time in the last 7 Little League World Series, which is ridiculous to me. They might as well be the powerhouse of the Little League World Series. They're monsters.
Yeah, there was never any doubt. I mean, they've won it for, like you said, 5 times in the last 7 years. They're pretty much the powerhouse of the Little League World Series, and I expect them to win every year. They always seem to have the recipes for success.
Yeah, they know what they're doing when they construct their Little League teams. But, you know, they're the Yankees of the Little League World Series. They're just going to go in there and they're going to dominate. That's how they do it.
So you're telling me they buy their athletes?
Obviously, they pay them Little League contracts, and they get the world's best Little Leaguers together, and they dominate Little League baseball.
That's right. They pay them big money. I heard their salaries are on par with the Yankees.
I heard that, too. It's close enough. Their contracts are pretty big. I mean, just to get these Little Leaguers together is beyond amazing. They have to pay these little leaguers crazy amounts of money, just like all the Yankees players in professional baseball. Japan takes the Little League World Series seriously.
Well, obviously, we're just kidding, guys. No one gets paid. But in all seriousness, Japan is very, very talented when it comes to, you know, baseball. And they seem to always have the good players and the right recipe for success, like I keep saying. I mean, what do you think it is that helps them to keep winning year after year?
Well, it has to be the coaching. Yeah, don't get me wrong. Japan has a crazy amount of talent over there, obviously. That's why they can come and they can play along with all of the U.S. teams. And obviously they win the international side. So, you know, they have good talent. They have good coaching. But I feel like in Little League, you know, coaching means a lot. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, at that point, talent means a lot too. But when you're playing at like a level like this with all spectators, coaching, to me, is what gets you over the hump. So, I don't know. I feel like, you know, they're going to keep winning because they're well-coached. They play baseball the right way. And I like the Japan teams. I mean, we were so used to the way that America plays baseball, that when you get to see the international teams, you know, yeah, they have their own little type of swag and style. I think it's pretty cool. And Japan capitalizes on all of that, and they run away with it every year.
Yeah, what I think it is that Japan, like you said, it's the coaching, because they teach their kids to do all the little things, whether it's bunt someone over, hit a fly ball to score someone. Like little things that, you know, actually do help when it comes to baseball. You know, baseball is a pretty much a slow-paced game. So when you get to move from base to base, all the little things help. So to score runs, you know, doing little things, not always hitting a home run or getting an RBI single here, you know, moving runners over, stealing bases here and there, fly ball, RBIs, you know, even if you hit a ground ball out, you move the run over, things like that. Japan does well because they play smart baseball. They're coached well, so they do the little things to help them win. And then they also have talent on the team, which if they happen to not do the little things, they have enough talent to, you know, help them win.
I mean, look at all the things that went into this game. For those of you who don't know, Japan beat Pennsylvania 18-11. Now, just to get back in that game, Japan had to be well coached and had to have like heart and soul, because they were down 10-2 in the first inning. And just to be down by that much, it's like you have to strive to come back. You have to believe that they're not better. Like, you know, when you're getting thrashed in that first inning, you have to believe that you can come back and win this game. And they did. And they ended up putting runs on the board inning after inning until they finally tied the game and took the lead to win the game. So I like Japan's heart. And just to overcome that, it was a high-scoring game, even for Little League. And there was just home runs hit everywhere. But Japan went, they stayed the pace, they stayed the course, and they ended up winning the whole thing after being down 10-2 in the first.
Yeah, that just shows that they have heart and a strong will. Because when you're down by that much, especially in the beginning of the game, you're thinking, man, they already got off to a good lead. I wonder if we can come back. And then they just kept chipping away at it and believing they can win. And then they started coming back, and eventually they did win. And then they pretty much beat them 18-11, which makes it look like they pretty much whooped them, but they didn't. They were down, and they had to fight back. So it just proves how much fight they had and how much heart.
So enough about Little League, Jay. How about we move on to something, you know, a little bit different. So how about we talk about Wes Craven, the man, the legend behind horror. Sadly, sad to say, he did pass away at the age of 70. And, you know, it just happened recently. I think it was yesterday or the day before, I believe. But, Jay, how do you feel about that? The guy who was a horror legend, and not just a horror legend, you know, just a legend in general.
Yeah, he was a big-time, you know, movie director, or horror legend that became synonymous with that genre. I mean, he is somebody that a lot of people looked up to, including me. You know, I'm obsessed with filmmaking and movies and TV and stuff like that. And unfortunately, he passed away at the age of 76. However, we can all remember the great, like, movies that he's left us with. So for a couple of you guys that don't know Wes Craven or have seen some of his movies, you know, he's had a couple of big-time movies, like Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy Krueger. That's a big, big movie dynasty, I guess. You know, it goes on through the years and people just love it. And then he also came out with The Hills Have Eyes, Shocker, The People Under the Stairs, multiple Nightmares on Elm Street, Scream, which is another big franchise, just like the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. I mean, he's come out with some big time movies that everyone can rewatch because there's such good quality and such good production value. You can just rewatch it because it's so good. And he was one of those big-time names and one of the staples in that genre. And it's sad that, you know, he passed away when we could have got, you know, more movies from him or quality or art.
I completely agree, exactly. For those of you who don't know, he passed away from brain cancer. He was battling it for some time. But, you know, he was well-known for everything he's done, like to make movie magic. Like you were saying, he was the founder of the Scream franchise and the Nightmare on Elm Street, which are just two huge blockbuster successes. And just like, you know, when I think of horror, you know this, Jay, me and you both grew up with this. The movie that scared us the most was The Nightmare on Elm Street with Freddy Krueger. Just to come up with the concept of some weirdo with claws killing you in your dreams is terrifying to me. And he came up with that, and for years I was scared of Freddy Krueger. So kudos to Wes Craven, because he invented my nightmares. Not know, he has Scream and he has all of these other big blockbusters, these very well-directed films that he came out with. And Hollywood, not just Hollywood, but everyone's going to be missing now a big name and, you know, a star that gave us a lot of happiness or at least scared us a lot throughout our lives.
And for those of you who like horror, you know, a lot of happiness from the horror. But a little trivia on how he came up with Freddy Krueger, since we're talking about a little bit of Nightmare on Elm Street. His vision of Freddy Krueger came from a childhood memory when he was 10 years old. He looked out the window of the apartment he used to live in, and he saw a drunk man dressed similar to how Freddy Krueger looked, that was looking directly at him and staring at him, and continues to stare at him for a couple of minutes. He said that it scared him so much that when he thought about, you know, creating it, that's the image in his mind that he got, and that's how he came up with the look of Freddy Krueger. And then obviously, I guess, he added the burned face and whatnot. And then the way he got the story of A Nightmare on Elm Street was, in 1984, he heard on the news about a report about a group of young men who died in their sleep during horrific nightmares, despite having no history of health problems and showing no specific cause of the death. So that's how he got, like, the premise of how Freddy Krueger kills people, and that's how he got the look by when he was a child. So that's a little bit about how the character and the story of A Nightmare on Elm Street came together.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, he's also one of the executive producers for the new MTV series Scream. Yeah, it's true, he didn't have much involvement in the series. You know, his name was just attached to the up and coming show. But since he was a part of it at all, they will be paying a tribute to Wes Craven in the season finale, which is pretty cool and good for them because he deserves it. And I actually like the show. It's really good, and I can't wait to see the season finale and see what they do to honor him and honor his name.
Yeah, because like I said, he was the director of Scream and some of the Scream movies in the Scream franchise. So for the new show to be honoring him, even though he was only a producer on the show, I think it's pretty cool, and I'm going to love to see what they do there. But, you know, again, a little bit of trivia, he almost turned down the option to direct the very first Scream because the first scene with Drew Barrymore reminded him a little bit about the very first movie he ever directed, The Last House on the Left. The last sequence in the film reminded him, or the first sequence in the film reminded him of the last sequence of The Last House on the Left. So he almost turned down the option to direct Scream. And we see how big of a franchise it became. So imagine him not being the one to have directed it. It might have busted, we don't know. But luckily, Scream was lucky enough to get such a talented director to direct it. And he almost turned it down, for those of you who don't know.
That's pretty interesting. Luckily, he didn't. So now we got him attached to what is now probably one of the most popular horror films of the last, I don't know, like 20 years.
Yeah, that and A Nightmare on Elm Street.
I mean, those names, those two franchises in general are synonymous with Wes Craven. Everyone, I mean, if you don't know, like, that he's part of that, well, now you do, because he was the heart and soul of those projects, and I have to applaud them, because they're still terrifying to this day, and they were so popular that each of them are being remade. We already had a rebooted rebooted film for The Nightmare on Elm Street, which from what I hear is rumored to be rebooted again for a second time. And then Scream already had, what, four or five films in the series, and now it's being turned into a hit television show. So kudos to his legacy and what he's done. I'm sure after each of these reboots or after each of these pass, another person will attempt to recreate the magic that Wes Craven brought and the terror that he brought to people everywhere.
Yeah, and all we can say is, you know, we...
Yeah, I got that sentiment, Jay, exactly. All we can say is take a moment of silence for Wes Craven. I think it's about that time to head to commercial break, guys. When we get back, we will be discussing our last topic for the day. But don't miss us too much, because it's going to be a great second half of the show. So see you soon, guys.
Interested in being a sports writer or a lifestyle writer for Miami Sports and Lifestyle? Or how about being that next great radio personality? Hit up at 305 Sports and Life on Twitter for more information.
Interested in advertising or sponsoring with MSL? Working for MSL as a writer? Even having your own radio show? Or do you have more of a business mind and want to bring your talents down here to South Beach? That's right. MSL has a big-ass help on to sign up. Writers, radio personalities, marketing directors, website managers, positions are open. Apply today and make this money. Miami Sports and Lifestyle, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a campaign underway. Let's give Miami the exposure that it deserves via Miami Sports and Lifestyle. MSL to ESPN. Love it, know it, support it.
Attention Miami, MSL is looking for writers for the Miami Dolphins, Miami Heat, Miami Marlins, Florida Panthers, Miami Hurricanes, and Florida International University Panthers. If you are interested, contact Stephen Ur at Stephen_Ur@yahoo.com for details. Join the MSL team today.
We at MSL have a new blog site underway, miamisportsandlife.wix.com/MSL blog for all your content surrounding Miami sports. Official site coming soon.
This is Andrew Powell, host of the Andrew Powell Show and CEO, founder of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. As you all know, I talk about marijuana a lot on my show. I do consider myself an advocate for the legalization of marijuana. And why? Because this is a medicine that helps so many different diseases, including cancer. And if it were legalized, it could eventually form a cure for cancer. And we've all been affected by cancer before with family members. We need to legalize medicine because not only does it help out cancer, but it helps out so many different diseases. So many. We need to legalize cures. And not only that, but legalizing marijuana would decrease black market control and crime and increase tax revenue to give this country's economy a boost. And we all know we need that. Beautiful plant that should have never been made illegal in the first place. But because of racism, lies, and greed over the almighty dollar, it's now illegal. And patients and peaceful marijuana smokers suffer everywhere, even in 2015. We need to legalize medicine. We need to legalize peace. Let's legalize marijuana 2015.
The views expressed by Andrew Powell are of Andrew Powell and Andrew Powell alone, and not the company and staff of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. The Andrew Powell Show brings you a fresh sports talk show that stands out above the rest. Tune in Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m., only on MSL Radio.
Play Action Sports League. They are signing up teams for the end of summer adult flag football leagues. You can either go Wednesday nights under the lights at On Brister Park in Coconut Grove, or you can go Saturday mornings at Coral Gables High School. Does your team have what it takes to be a champion? For more info, you could go to www.playactionsports.org or you could call 305-397-5632. Once again, that is www.playactionsports.org or you could call 305-397-5632.
You are now listening to Cruise Control with Jonathan and Christian Cruz, only on MSL Radio.
Well, welcome back, guys, from commercial break to Cruise Control with your hosts, Jay Cruz and Chris Cruz. Chris Cruz, say what's up to our people.
Hey, people, welcome back. So we got an exciting second half of the show for you guys. I hope you guys are ready, because we are. So, Jay, what is the last topic for today?
We're going to be talking about the VMAs, for those of you who watched it, the Video Music Awards.
Ooh, how exciting!
I know, exciting topics, the 2015 MTV Video Music Awards. For those of you who like watching the awards show, you guys already know what happened. But for those of you who missed it or who don't like watching it, we're going to be going over some memorable moments from it. So, Chris, do you have anything that you personally liked? Because what I thought was pretty funny was how Kanye West said he running for president in 2020.
I mean, is that really news? We already know that Kanye was crazy and that he just goes around saying whatever he wants, trying to get the most publicity. So when he was up there talking about he wants to be president, I was like, oh my gosh, Kanye, is this guy crazy? I'm like, but whatever, it was entertaining. I had a laugh about it. What'd you think about it, Jay? I bet you were like, wow, I'll vote for him. President Kanye, President West.
That's right. I will vote for President West over here. But, I mean, I don't know. I can't see Kanye running for president. I don't know if he was serious. In my mind, Kanye was serious, but he could have been joking. You don't know. But in my mind, Kanye's serious because he takes himself too seriously. Like, he thinks he's the best thing to ever happen to the world. So,
as
I mean, but I liked how...
As long as he still drops hot tracks while he's president, I don't really care.
Yeah, because Kanye West is very talented. I love Kanye West's music. But I don't know if I would vote for Kanye as president. And, I mean, honestly, I hope he was just kidding. But if he runs, good for him. Maybe he'll win. Honestly, I don't see the people voting for him. And I don't think it's a good idea. You know, pretty much stay with what you're good at. You know, keep making awesome music. But I like how Taylor Swift introduced Kanye. It was pretty funny. You know, she was giving him an award that he won. And she says how she often thinks back to the first time they met. You know, everyone was saying, you know, how Kanye was like, Taylor, I'm going to let you finish in a minute. But Beyonce had the best music video of all time. I mean, that was played over and over and over again so many times. It was probably embarrassing for Kanye because people were just ripping him for that. But, I mean, it might have been a memorable experience for the both of them. And apparently it looks like, you know, they got in closer. I don't know if they would be called friends, but, you know, they're cool now. And the way she introduced him was pretty much the same exact way. She was like, Kanye, I'm going to let you finish, but something about how he won the award. I don't remember the exact line she used.
Well, then, thank you. Well, thank you for that line, then. But
I'm going to look it up. Give me a second.
So while you're doing that, yeah, the Video Music Awards was entertaining. It had a lot of entertaining things going on last night. You know, Taylor Swift won some awards. Kanye won some awards. Yeah. You know, yada, yada, yada. People won some awards. Like, you've already mentioned one of the highlights for me anyway was Kanye announcing he will be running for president. If he does that, okay, you know, good for him. I want to see what type of candidate he'll be, but I'll wait until 2020 to see that. But that's not the only major thing that happened, in my opinion. You know, we had the Biebs balling on stage, which was super random, I guess. Got love for the Biebs, but I just don't know. But at least he's keeping himself out of trouble, so good for him. But one of the other, you know, big thing is that Taylor Swift, it looks like Taylor Swift and Nicki Minaj's bad blood with each other have been squashed. Because Nicki and Taylor performed on stage together. And I don't know if you know this, Jay, but they had a Twitter feud for a while now. And apparently, I guess they're cool. Or at least cool enough to perform together. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, they squashed it not too long ago on Twitter.
I mean, celebrities and their feuds, they're always a dime a dozen. But they're entertaining for a little bit. I'm glad that they squashed it. it was getting, you know, it wasn't, I don't want to say old, but I'm happy it's over and done with. At least they were able to perform together, and it was pretty cool. But, Jay, you have to know the biggest one of the night for me. Do you know what it is?
Hold on, I'm going to let you finish in a minute, but I got to go over the quote. So Taylor Swift said, so I guess I have to say to all the other winners tonight, I'm really happy for you, and I'm going to let you finish, but Kanye West has had one of the greatest careers of all time. That's how she introduced him, going back to how they first met and about how he stole the mic from her and whatnot. So it was pretty funny at the time. And I think it was a cool, you know, interesting way to introduce it. And it's, you know, kept people interested. But I just like how she went back to that. It was pretty funny. So go ahead.
Yeah, she might have been entertaining. But my personal favorite thing that happened at the VMAs was when Nicki Minaj was on stage accepting her award or whatever, and she went and she pretty much called out Miley Cyrus. And she stated that Miley, because Miley apparently said some negative things about Nicki Minaj in an interview, and Nicki heard about it, was unhappy with it, and now has some beef with Miley Cyrus and called her out on that on stage. I would not mess with Nicki. You know she's crazy. So if I was Miley, I would say sorry as soon as possible. Like, I don't know what I would be like, I'm sorry. They twist my words around. I would never say such negative things about you, Nicki. Please leave me alone. Don't beat me up. So that's just personally what I would say. I mean, all good, you know, this is a new feud. I want to see how this goes. This one seems like it'll be pretty fun in it to see. So I'm waiting to see how this one turns out. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be squashed pretty soon because it looked like Miley Cyrus wasn't delving too much into it. But it looked like Nicki Minaj was a little upset, and I think it's a legit beef because, I mean, Nicki Minaj just called her out on stage, and apparently it got a little awkward in there because no one knew she was going to do that. But Miley Cyrus looked like she was just shrugged it off, didn't really say anything about it. So I think it'll be squashed pretty soon. I don't see Miley pretty much beefing with Nicki pretty much in the future.
Okay, she was hosting the VMAs. I don't think she can just go off and just start having a feud with Nicki right there. So, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be. I don't think Miley wants any of Nicki. I don't think she wants any of that. So I think she's just going to let it die. Maybe she apologized. Maybe she won't. I guess we'll see what happens. Personally, my favorite incident that happened at the VMAs, because I didn't see that coming. I was like, what? I was like, wow, this is so awkward and embarrassing. Like, I was watching it. It was cringeworthy for me because I didn't see Nicki just calling her out like that. And I was like, damn, what is Miley going to do now? But it's all fun. I mean, not for them, but, you know, for us, it entertains us. I hope they squash it, you know. I don't want to see that beef going on, but it's entertaining while it lasts.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it'll be entertaining. Like I said, I don't really see too much coming from it. So I don't know how entertaining it's going to be for people who are interested in that drama or whatnot. But I can see them going back and forth probably for the next couple of days. But I think Miley will pretty much squash it pretty soon. And probably so will Nicki. They'll probably end up getting along later, maybe doing a song together like her and Taylor did.
What was your...
Like I said, I love the Kanye West saying he's going for president. That just shocked me. I was like, yo, he has to be kidding. But then again, Kanye does some ridiculous things, so half the time you got to be like, yeah, I kind of expected that.
I mean, did you see when Taylor was presenting him the award, how he pretended to be asleep so he wouldn't, like, cause her any more drama? That was funny. That was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, Kanye's awesome. I love Kanye. But sometimes you gotta chill out. And Bieber crying on stage, I was like, really, man, what are you doing? I mean, I guess he was filled with emotion, but, I mean, cry when you get off stage, bro. He just wanted the people to see him.
Well, I'm happy for him. He's trying to turn over a new leaf. Yeah, I don't know if it's part of his new sentimental Bieber, but whatever works for him, I guess.
All right, guys, but it's time for the end of our show where we do the rap recap, you know, that segment we like to do. So Christian's going to end the show with the rap recap.
Oh, I guess, guys, it's already time for our show to end. But don't miss us too much because we still got the rap recap before it comes to an end. So let's start this. Here we go. When it comes to Little League, Japan plays big. Winning 5 of the last 7 championship bids. We also had winners at the VMAs, drama going on that will last for days, from Nicki to Miley and Kanye too. Whoever didn't see it should be singing the blues. But not only for that, but for Craven too. He changed a hard game. His genius will remain. Whether you're young or you're old, man, you know his name. But that's it for today. I'm done with this game. See y'all tomorrow. I'm back in my domain. Good night, guys.
Shut up and drive.